I'm thrilled to be joined now by my old friend, Masters champion, and recovering from elbow surgery. Mike Weir is joining us now. Mike, how you doing?
Hey, good, John. How you doing, buddy?
I'm good. How's the elbow?
I'm getting better. It's been a little over 3 months since I had surgery, and I'm starting to pitch a few now, and you know, kind of peg a few up on a tee, and kind of 3/4 and 7 irons out there, just a little bit, and kind of slowly building the strength back up in the elbow. But I'm doing pretty good, and the docs are all happy with where I'm at so far.
Yeah, you put this off for a while. You played in pain for a long time. Do you wish you'd done it a little bit earlier?
Well, I think, you know, I had to assess it maybe a little differently in 2010 when I was struggling with it. You know, I was trying to avoid surgery. I mean, no one wants to have surgery, and thought I could do it through, you know, just taking some rest and rehab and different types of therapies that we tried to do on it. And, you know, I did find some relief from that, but it wouldn't last. And it just came to the point that it was really starting to bother me. And then, obviously, in the Canadian Open and that deep rough, I really knew something was wrong Friday morning before I was even warming up. It was really sore. And then when I got out and hit a few shots out of that rough, it was I knew something was even more wrong than what it felt before. And I went down to see Dr. Jim Andrews down in Florida, and we did another MRI, and he thought, you know, this thing's never going to go away. You just need to get it fixed right now, and so you can go on with your career. And because if you just keep playing with this, his idea was I'd just be struggling with it forever unless I got it fixed. So went and had it done pretty much right away after that.
Right. How's it been, before we continue on that, how's it been being home for the last few months?
Well, it's been great in a lot of ways. I mean, you know, taking in all my kids' soccer games and all their activities, and sleeping in your own bed for a number of weeks in a row is kind of unusual for professional golfers. So that's been kind of fun. But at the same time, now it's been a few months, and now I'm starting to get anxious and ready to play and start to work. And I know I have to be patient because I am starting to feel better, and I have to, as I was telling you earlier, you know, I can pitch a few right now and do a few things. I want to just grab a driver and rip one out there, but I'm pretty far away from that still. But I'm kind of chomping at the bit now a little bit. But it has been, in some ways, been fun.
Our guest is, he was the 1993 Rookie of the Year on the Canadian Tour.
Wow, that's a blast in the past stat there, Johnny.
Yeah, well, I was there with you. You may not remember, but I was with you at the time. 10 years later, he won the Masters, folks. It's Mike Weir. If you're on hold for our previous conversation, stay there. We will get back to you. But great to have Mike on. What's the timeline? When did they tell you that you'll be able to start making full swings?
I'm hoping within about 5 or 6 weeks, you know, kind of into mid-December, hopefully I can be, you know, starting to practice and you know, take a divot, you know, and see how the elbow responds to that. But it's a slow process to kind of build up the strength gradually in that tendon, so it can absorb a shot of, you know, a nice 7 iron out of the turf. And so I'm hoping in you know, 5 to 6 weeks I'll be doing that, and then it becomes, can I do that 2 days in a row? Can I do it a week in a row? They're kind of building it back up that way, and then so I don't know when my return to playing will be. It'll just kind of be, see how that progress goes once I kind of get into practice sessions and see how many days I can go in a row without being sore. And so I'm hoping sometime before the Masters that I hopefully get a few tournaments in before Augusta is my goal.
I was looking at the schedule thinking, boy, that's going to be cutting it awfully close for a Riviera where you've played so well over the years.
Yeah, and I have talked to my docs about that and talking about, you know, some of those tournaments that I do love on the West Coast, and that might maybe cutting a little close, but you never know. I'm going to go back and see Dr. Andrews in another couple weeks and talk to him further, and he'll give another checkup and see where I am. But things are going well here. The docs at the university here are great, and I've been working with a great therapist here, and, you know, I think it's, you know, I'm optimistic that I'll be back hopefully by then, that I could play something like L.A. or Pebble Beach and play a few before the Masters. Like I said, that'd be great.
Absolutely. Has your perspective changed at all when you look at this when you're 30 years old playing on the PGA Tour, you don't ever think of the end of your career. Has it made you think about some of those things?
Yeah, I guess it has a little bit. I mean, as you said, when you're coming up, as we did through the ranks, John, I mean, you don't think about getting injured, and you just feel like you'll just play and practice, and you can just keep going on. And then when you have something like this, you sit back. I've definitely thought, can I get back to where I was, or even better, than where I was? And those questions run through your mind. And one thing is, I'm motivated to come back. I'm very motivated, and I've done some other things to try to keep myself as fit as possible, so when I do come back, I'm not fighting that battle. I can just get back and get to work, and the 40, 41, 42-year-old body's going to be able to hold up to the grind that it takes to kind of push your way back to the top. So in that regard, I guess, I've thought about it a little bit, but not a whole lot. I've kind of been focused my attention on how I'm going to get back, and not thinking about the what-ifs if it doesn't happen.
Right. Now, this has to be a little bit tough for you this time of year, considering that you've been on every President's Cup team for the last five of them, dating back to 2000. How tough is it to see those guys heading overseas and knowing that you want to be a part of it?
That's, of all the golf that's been played since I haven't been playing, this will be the toughest one that's on TV that I'll definitely tune in. And I love watching golf. I mean, I obviously love the game, and I don't get a chance to watch a whole lot with my kids' activities on the weekends lately, but the President's Cup, I will try to tune in as much as possible, and I do miss that. I kind of got a knot in my stomach that I'm not playing down there. I played down there in the early 90s in Australia, a number of events, made some great friends down there in the Melbourne area that I was hoping to renew some acquaintance there. And just that competition, as individual athletes like we are, to be on a team, we don't get to play these team sports. And I've always loved that aspect of it, of having the other guys that are on your team and sharing that with them and sharing the whole week, good or bad. It's just a great experience. So, I'm going to miss not being on that team, that's for sure. And, I'm going to wish the guys well down there. But, it's going to be – it'll be great to watch, but tough to watch.
Yeah, I would think so. I mean – you've been such a staple on that team that I could certainly understand how it would be tough to watch. You'll be back in a couple of years. There's no question about it. Have you stayed in touch with some of the guys?
Not a whole lot. No, I haven't. It's funny when you're injured, you just kind of fall out of the loop a little bit, and fell out of the loop. But I've kept an eye on the guys who are on the team and hoping they're playing well. And other than that, I haven't had any contact with anybody. Just been just kind of doing my thing and rehabbing here.
Have something. This is actually why I wanted to have you on the show. All the golf stuff was just getting around to this. Tell me about Creekside Estate Wines.
Well, we're actually not affiliated with. You must have got it. Someone must have slipped you an old.
Gotcha.
Old thing, but we have a partnership. We haven't had a partnership with Creekside for a number of years now, but with Chateau de Charme is our wine producer, and we just recently purchased a winery down in the Niagara region, or in a town called Beamsville, that was called East Dell, and now it's going to be the home of our winery. So that'll be open sometime late spring, hopefully early summer, and so it's been an exciting endeavor to have that, and it started with Creekside with the idea that we'd be able to raise some money for my foundation. That's how it all started, and it's kind of turned into a bit of a business and trying to get it going. And it's been fun. It's fun little business to be in.
How's the foundation? Stumbling over my words. I had a very long weekend. The inaugural on-tap invitational was this week down at Pinehurst. And
oh, boy.
Nobody got a lot of sleep. We were there for 3 days. talk about the foundation and all the good work it's doing.
Yeah, my foundation, we started a number of years ago now. It's really dedicated to children and children's charities, whether it's, you know, physical, emotional, parents that need help and support. We've had an affiliation with Children's Miracle Network for the last 5 years, and we've had a tournament up in Canada. We call it the Mike Weir Miracle Golf Drive for Kids. And we try to hit a city that has a Children's Miracle Network hospital, try to hit a different city every summer and raise money for that particular children's hospital. So, you know, we've had some, last year we were in Toronto, we were in Winnipeg the year before, we were in Saskatoon the year before, we've been in London, Ontario. So we're trying to raise money for their children's hospitals locally, and they've been great tournaments. We've raised a couple of them in Saskatoon and raised close to $1.5 million for their children's hospital in a day and a half, which is a huge success. And so in different little markets, we've hit, hopefully made an impact with their children's hospitals in the area. So we're continuing to grow. We want to reach $10 million total. We're about halfway to our goal, so we're getting there. And yeah, I actually have a board meeting tomorrow to discuss this upcoming summer's tournament. So it's been really rewarding to be part of that.
Well, let us know here when you finalize that. I'll be more than happy to talk about it in the weeks before it to try to send people there. You know, we're all across Canada as well.
Oh, thanks, John. Appreciate it, man.
You mentioned the Canadian – I mean, you are a Canadian. You were voted last year as the 12th greatest athlete all time in Canada.
That's I didn't know that.
That is a pretty big honor when you consider some of the great ones, or the great one that is on that list. That's pretty good stuff there, Mike.
Well, thanks. Yeah, I didn't realize that, but obviously we've had great athletes in Canada. You know, obviously great hockey players and number of great Olympic athletes. Even got a basketball player, Stevie Nash.
Sure,
that's done some great things. So, yeah, those kind of things are all nice to be recognized. That's for sure. And you know, golf hasn't been our forte in our country as far as professional golf. So hopefully we got some young guys coming up that hopefully do some good things. And young Adam Hadwin had some good tournaments this summer. And you know, hopefully there'll be a few more Canadians on the PGA Tour coming up that'll do some great things.
I don't know if you've been paying close enough attention, but he did get exempt to the finals. According to where he was on the money list, based on last year's, there was some complication that he might have to go to the second stage, but they said, nope, he's exempt into the finals. That's good news.
Wow. That's big news, actually, because that, even for myself, I knew second stage to me always seemed like the tough stage. I don't know about for you, John, but seemed like that, you know, kind of breaking through that barrier, final stage seemed easier because you knew you didn't get your tour card, you had, you know, nationwide tour status, and you could, you know, you're going to have some kind of status, but if you didn't get through second stage, you didn't have anything. And that seemed to be the real pressure cooker, at least in my world anyways, it seemed to be. So that's a good thing for him.
I remember playing in the final round at second stage with you at the Ombre years and years ago. And the third in our group, we were in like the last group or the second to last group, but the third in our group was having one of those nightmare days and ended up just slipping through by a shot or two. And you and I were in good shape, and we're trying to pull him along. I remember that vividly.
I do remember that.
Well, Mikey, I appreciate the time. I appreciate the phone call. I'm not going to ask you about any of the things that happened this weekend because you shouldn't have to talk about them. You didn't come on here to talk about them.
Okay, thanks, John.
Thanks.